you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Oh, precious Lord, Father, once again we have an opportunity, Lord, that we can come and gather under thy Spirit. Lord, I pray as you walk amongst us that you would just look in every heart, Lord, and see the need, Lord. Maybe the word, Lord, that needs expounded on, or Father, needs strengthening spiritually somehow. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, you're here to meet the need. And I just pray that you would just bless everyone. Lord, just be with us now, Lord. Even in the hymns, Lord, we sing tonight, pray that you would just have your way. May you be glorified. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. I'd like to start there on page 165. When they ring the golden bells. Can't wait, thanks. Amen. There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals there to dwell with the immortal. When they ring the golden bells for you and me, don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the evermore with anguish laden, we shall. says. Praise his name. Page 182. Hallelujah. Never grow old. I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. It's a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. It's a land where
forever shall stay, and having been saved by grace divine. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior. Love has no limit. Hallelujah. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his he gives and he gives.
we bow our heads. Precious, precious Jesus. Father, Lord, as the little song we just sang, Lord, your love has no limit. Your grace has no measure. Father, Lord, we're walking in this life, Lord, we're needy people. But Father, it's all part of your plan, Lord, that we may be able to know you. We know you as a healer, as a redeemer, as a savior. Father, all these attributes, you had them in you all the time that you wanted to express yourself. So, Lord, here we are, Father, crying out to you. Lord, I pray each hand that was raised, Lord, with a need, touch them for it tonight. Lord, just, Father, may that faith get so strong, Lord, in our heart, that it, Lord, be instantaneous even, Lord. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we serve a living God, one that cares, knows our needs. Bless us now, Lord. Bless the word, Lord, you've supplied for us as it comes forth. Lord, grant each and every one revelation and understanding. We thank you now and just look to you. In your precious name, we ask all these things. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Somebody have a special tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have anything, Karen? All right. Let's stand then. We'll sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Let's ask our brother to come.
To his precious word. Hallelujah. While you're still standing, let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, we so appreciative for what you're doing for us. Yes. And Lord, just to feel the precious anointing upon your word. And know, Lord, that you wrote these things for our admonition, Lord, and placed it here that even this many years, Lord, after these things were written, we would be rehearsing and reading and calling to remembrance, Lord, those things that you spoke unto us. And Father, we just come humbly tonight asking you to bless your word to our hearts, and Lord, that our portion, we would find something to sustain us and to continue, Lord, to help us to press on and to yield to you in a greater measure. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word and upon this service, Lord, and just move us out of the way and just have your way, we pray, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Oh, he is so wonderful. Amen. While you're standing, if you would, we'll just turn over to Luke and read a very short scripture, and you can be seated. Amen. Praying the things that our pastor was bringing Sunday is still upon our hearts, and we're thinking about these things, and, you know, and I just couldn't seem to quite get away from it completely yet, of kind of the thought of what the last couple Thursdays that we've kind of followed, thinking of Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, and what that means to me, what it means to you, and where we're standing. But let's just hear in Luke, the 21st chapter and the 33rd verse, Jesus speaking here. He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Amen. May the Lord add the blessings and greetings where you may be seated. As we just think about that, and as we really begin to allow this word to become real to us. That as we read the things that we read, even the scripture, and as we partake of the word and we hear the word rehearsed, as we were mentioning, God has in helpers. He has hands and eyes here that's rehearsing and bringing this word back, and how it, our confidence isn't in the man bringing the word or standing there renewing our minds to it, but that man, that person, whoever it may be that is speaking this word, is speaking forth life, and this scriptures is what's inspired and gives life to the believer and to our hearts, and it stirs us to realize that we're only pointing back to Jesus Christ, and that's what we were sent here for. And as you think about that, as we kind of go a little bit direction this evening, is it's still got to be to us personally. It's got to, it's just words on a page unless it grabs me or grabs you, and you know, and in each circumstance. And but just to kind of give a little bit of background to the to this being God's word and His infallible word, let's put a couple scriptures in our heart first here. This is a quote the prophet made in The Power of Transformation. This was preached October 31st, 1965. But just thinking about His word going forth and Him speaking, we know in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But let's just catch what He says here. He says, that's what God did, paragraph 88. That's what God did for Adam and Eve. He created His Garden of Eden. He had spoken it. It was in His mind. And when He says it, then it has to happen. And that goes with every word that God's seen and fit to write into His precious word. And even in this last day, as He spoke through a prophet and give forth the word for this day, that word also has to come to pass. Amen. And He says, bear that on mind now. What He says, it must happen. See, nothing can hinder it. Nothing can keep it from happening. There is nothing can keep it from happening. God said so. That settles it. God said it. It's going to happen. Now He had it all this in mind, and He said, let there be. In Genesis 1, we see there, let this be, let there be that, let there be. He was sowing seed. Let it be there, and let it be here, and let it be here. And He knew it was going to be that way because it cannot change. Now that gives us faith. Then what He said here, it's going to be. So let's let that seed fall into our hearts, that we might be a bedding ground of that seed into our hearts, and let us act out this place that He has placed us in these last days. Let the seed fall in our hearts, Lord. Let Thy word fall in my heart, and let there not be any unbelief. Amen. Like Abraham, when he was an old man, it looked impossible how he was going to do that, how he was going to be changed back young and have a son. He says, but how's it going to be this way? But he never considered it. He just received the word of God and went on believing, and God brought it to pass. So just accepting God at His word and taking Him and believing in Him and leaning upon Him, just opening up your heart to let that seed of faith fall in, and God will do the work that's needed on the inside. As we think about that, I want to just kind of along the same thought, we'll go over here to 2 Peter if you want to turn with me. We've read all these many times. We're just going to put them back in our hearts. 2 Peter, amen. I'm so thankful for God's precious word and to see what it's becoming to mean to me as an individual. And I pray that each of us are feeling that and seeing it made real. Amen. I missed a page there. There we go. 2 Peter in the first chapter. I thought I stuck a marker in there. I did. All right, let's catch it. It says here, start about that 2 Peter's first chapter, and we'll start about the 16th verse. And Peter speaking here, but you got to remember, Peter was an eyewitness. And I got a whole page of notes. I just sometime, whenever, I'd like to really just kind of go through Peter's, what he had the opportunity to see and to witness and to be partaker of from the beginning all the way through Christ's work here on earth. And that happened for a reason, and for Peter would be able to tell and say the things that he did. But I like how he says it here. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that the prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost we know is God in spirit form, moving down to conform his word and to use his helpers at the time to speak exactly what he wanted spoke for that time and place. And it was recorded and became this book we call a Bible today that we know is to be the infallible word of God that he has watched over and kept it to this day. And he still watches over it to make sure that it's not tampered with, it's not messed with. Yes, many have taken different translations of the Bible and they've started leaving out scriptures and leaving out pieces here. But God's word is laying here. He sent us a prophet and told us to hold to the King James Version edition. You know, back when he said that, that may not have seemed too important. You know, it may have kind of seemed, well, why would he say that? But today, when you see what is happening with some of the new translations, this one they haven't messed with yet by God's grace. And how we want to hold to God's word as much as and hold, just keep it. It's just a Bible. It is a Bible, but it's God's word on those pages. And oh, it's speaking life to me and it's speaking life to you. And so as Peter, he was able to really feel that and expound on it. It was not a fable. It wasn't something that I just heard. But let me tell you, I seen it, I heard it, and I am a firsthand experience of what the Holy Ghost did for me on the day of Pentecost. When I came down out of the room, it was burning in his heart. He knew what he had seen, what he had heard, and what had taken place. And he would stand before, as he was writing this, whoever he may have been speaking to at the time and breaking that forth. It's not a fable. Maybe somebody was starting to doubt a little bit. I just don't know. He was declaring plainly, let me tell you, it's not a fable. It is the truth, what I'm telling you. And if you would, let's turn over here to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Amen. Just a couple of these scriptures of testimony to God's word and the holding power that it has. Amen. Hebrews 6 and 18, and speaking of Abraham and as God, and we'll just start about the 13th verse just to catch Hebrews 6 and 13. For when God had made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. But wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter to in within the veil. And how is Abraham could truly put his confidence in God's word when God spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son. This is going to happen. And I'm going to do this, and you're going to, all this is going to take place. It was so real to Abraham that he didn't question nothing else. He just let the seed word of God fall into his heart. Amen. He said, yes, Lord. And he took off looking for that promise to be fulfilled in his life. Amen. And how that truly is the, he didn't have it in his hand, but it was a promise of God's word, and his anchor was in that point to know that God cannot lie. He couldn't change. And what he said, it was there for him to hold to. And the prophet in the message, Confirmation and Evidence, preached June 21st, 1962. He read the scripture and then he just expounded just a little bit. But just to kind of dip it into our hearts as food for thought to think on. Paragraph 34, he said, I was thinking on confirmation and evidence. It seems like man always requires confirmation or some sort of an evidence, which so much more as this time of age of skeptics that we're living. Everything must be confirmed. It must be an evidence to it. And the evidence of the confirmation gives us the surety of what we're looking for. And as time has went on, you see this more and more and more in people. They can't, you know, you tell them something, well, let me prove that out and make sure you're telling me the truth. Yeah. It's become to that place because, well, there is. It's the greatest age of deception. You see stuff all over the place. And they've lost the reality of being, can I trust you? Are you truthful to me? But God's word is ever truthful. It never changes, and he's watched over to make sure what he said you can take to the bank. And it doesn't need me or anyone mixing my idea or thoughts to it. Take it just the way God said it and let that seed fall down in your heart. Open up your heart to that word.
Yes.
And God will make it blossom.
Amen.
So as an example he's using, he's like, when a man buys a car, he must have a title to that car. And though he has not the car sitting in his garage, if he has a title, it's a confirmation to him that he owns the car because he has a deed or the title. And then if we bought a piece of ground, though we've never seen the ground and know nothing about the ground, yet we have an abstract deed to that ground, and it belongs to us. Whether we've seen it or not, it still belongs to us. The car belongs to us, whether we have seen it or not, yet we have the title given to us, and we hold it in our possession, in our name, and that title shows us that we own that car, and the abstract deed tells us we own the property.
Yes.
Now, in Hebrews, we're taught again that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It's a substance. It isn't a hope. Most people come with hope. But faith is the substance. It's something that, it isn't something that you're hoping for. When faith has taken its hold, you have a substance, not just a myth.
Amen.
You've got a hold of something, you know it.
Amen.
And nothing shakes you from it. It's yours.
Yes.
You're positive, and you have it in your hand, and you've got it in your possession. And we see this example in Abraham. And many different ones down through the scriptures where this anchored in their heart. And so we'll read a couple examples in a moment, but just bear this in mind. It's in your possession. For instance, if I was starving and was dying of starvation and a loaf of bread would save my life, and the purchase of that loaf of bread is 25 cents and someone gave me the 25 cents, well, I can be just as much as I can see and know that I hold the 25 cents, which is the buying power of that loaf of bread, I can be just as happy with the 25 cents as I could be with the loaf of bread. I already have the purchasing power that buys the loaf of bread.
Yes.
And so that's the way faith is. Faith is something that you have and you know you've got it. Amen.
Amen.
And you may say, we've heard this. You're just, but let God's word, he made sure it was recorded for a purpose.
Yes.
So I may just be rereading what he said, but he had a purpose in these words being spoken. So just open up our souls and our little womb and just say, Lord, dip it in. Give it a place to land. And he says, so that's the way faith is. Faith is something that you have and you know you got it. And when you receive faith that God is, then that God is going to give you this. Yet your healing might not be there. Something has anchored within you that tells you it's going to be all right. And then you can be just as happy as you were. You can be just as happy sitting in the wheelchair as if you were out in the street jumping up and down, shouting, running around, praising God. Because you've already got the evidence, it's already yours. See, it isn't a myth. It isn't an imagination. It's a substance. It's a supernatural substance. It's something that you can only know when God has once dipped it into your heart. And you will know when that substance faith once drops in there, you won't have to ask somebody. You will know it's an unshakable trust in God's word. Amen. Anything, it's not a myth. It's something you actually got a hold of. And now there is where so many people fail to get healed. They have a hope instead of faith. You hope that you will. You kind of have an imaginary faith because you feel that you are. And we've appropriated that, but we actually got you. But when you actually got a hold of faith, it's a substance, it's something real. And you get a hold of that. And that's what brings it.
Yes.
And so with that in mind, I want you to think about this. Let's turn over here to, amen. Let's go to Luke 7 first. Luke the 7th chapter. Very familiar scriptures, but just to renew our Luke 7. And just thinking about this centurion and realizing the confidence that he had, and in realizing as he was able to look at Jesus Christ and see him walking, and realizing the authority and the power that lay within him, and realizing that it wasn't him alone. He could see that. And I want you to think about that. This centurion, being in the military and in Rome, he knew that all of Rome was behind him. He knew what decisions he made, they'd stand behind it. And his men knew. They had that respect. They knew that was the case. And so when this centurion knew that because of his rank and title, if he commanded a man to go, as he goes to say here, he knew it was going to take place. There wasn't no doubt. The respect, it was in them. It was a form that was going to take place. And so as he was looking at that from this standpoint, as Jesus, he began here in Luke the 7th, and he says, he's speaking of Jesus, he says, "Now when he had ended all of his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this." So they were trying to convince Jesus, "This is a good man. You should really come." But he says, "For he loves our nation. He hath built us a synagogue." And then Jesus went with him. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enterest under my roof. But wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, and having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto him, and the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick." Because he believed, he knew, he just needed Jesus. He wanted to hear him say the words. And he knew it would be as Jesus said. And all the confidence that we should have in this precious word. As we've seen all of that's taken place and all that has been fulfilled leading up to this today. We've seen God yesterday over and over again. But the same God is here today for you and I to do what he will for in this time. He knows what's in my life, what's in your life, what obstacles. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows what it's going to take for us to face this life and for him to receive the glory and the honor from it. But even as Peter was able to say he was an eyewitness of these things, and this is one account, he was there. He was able to see this take place and see that take place. But on the day of Pentecost, as he was up in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell, and he was there and come down and began to preach the word of God to them. And as the word was coming forth, and those words were falling as seeds into the hearts of those that were listening, and their hearts were pricked about him. And then they would come to Peter and say, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter would give them the formula: "Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Peter was just speaking forth the words. As the helper, there come those words rolling out, God's word, just rolling right out the way he said to tell it. Right the way he put it. "This is to them that are far off." Peter never held back. He presented the word. Those hearts were pricked. They were open. There was a little seed prepared, a ground prepared. The word went down in the womb, and forth came the actions, proving forth that they saw it take place, what they believed. And if you would, turn over to Acts the 8th chapter with me, and let's read here for a moment. Just watch the power of the word of God as it comes forth into a life. Yes. And you say, "Well, I've read that, I've heard that, I knew that." But God has a time and a place for every, if we'll just get in the right condition. Yes. And just open up our hearts. Amen. God knows when just to dip it right in. And it might have been something you've heard 5,500 times. Yes. But at the right moment, if God will enlighten your understanding and open your heart to it, you watch it quicken that word to life. Amen. This body will come subject, yes, right to it. Amen. But in Acts, the 8th chapter, And let's do the 34th verse, looks like I got wrote down here.
Amen.
So the disciples were having a service, we realize, and the Holy Spirit moved upon Peter, or not Peter, but Philip, rather, to move away from the meeting they were having. But we'll just pick up about the 29th verse in the 8th chapter. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go, let me back up, the 26th verse, I'm sorry. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And just watch the leading of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. He just told him, rise and go. And he didn't give him no more details. The Holy Spirit's pulling him, wooing him, caught him up in the Spirit and moved him down here. Mm-hmm. And as Philip obeys the Spirit, and he goes down and he says, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading Isaiah the prophet. Amen. Just think about it. You might be sitting in your chair one day reading a chapter out of this Bible. What did Peter say? What did Paul say? You might be sitting there reading one of Brother Branham's books, one of the messages, sitting there reading it. And pondering, thinking about it. So that's what was happening here. And he says, and was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Amen. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And the Holy Spirit moving upon man, as we read in Peter, just think about it. Men of old moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost enlightening Philip here. He says, in the eunuch, himself or of some other man. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And he preached unto him Jesus. Amen. He's just started and he's given him the word. And I want you to watch the reaction that happened, just as it had happened on the original day, as they come down out of that upper room and that word went forth and the foundation was being laid and it's pushed out there. And Philip said, as they went their way, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, the same came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, so here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded that chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. But there was a heart that opened up and gave that place for that word to come down in. And when that word fell down in that womb, it quickened that outward. I want to be baptized. You see the obedience. It brought obedience to God's word. Is that it's coming in. It's just, you can't help yourself. It just brings that into this flesh body. I must come conform to God's word. Amen. And it just takes such a place. And this eunuch realized that water and that baptism of the Holy Ghost was for him. There was repentance of sin and covering and shedding of blood for him. And he accepted God's word to him at this time and place. The same as each one of us. At a certain time and place, we've come to that where that word was speaking to me individually. It was my sins that needed to be covered. It was my sins that put him on the cross. It was my pain and my sickness that he bore those stripes for my healing. And by God's grace, it became real to me when God opened up my heart and said, let it be. Here it is, son. This is for you. Oh, my. And what an assurance it brings. It don't matter what anybody else says. It don't matter what comes and what goes. I know he paid the price for me. Amen. And nobody can take that from me. Nobody can take that from you when you truly realize that it was for my sins he died. Amen. He made a way that I could come back into fellowship. Because I was once there because I was lost, and he come to seek me and to find me. All his mercy and grace that has overshown that little seed, and it will watch over his own. He said he wouldn't lose any of them. Amen. He's watching over them. He's just looking. But as this word comes forth, if we'll just open up our hearts, there's something in our hearts, that little pricking, that little something nudging, something calling, if we can just but lay open and say, Lord, just dip it into my heart. Lord, open. Yeah. Let me just absorb what you're giving me, Lord, and rest assured that this cannot change and it cannot lie. That what's said here is for me and all my, look at what he can do in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Here in the message, let's see. This is in the message, Proving His Word, August 16th, 64. About paragraph 67, and as we were, Brother Branham was given this example, and I had mentioned this from a message he preached in 1958, but he brought it back over and tied it back in here in Proving of His Word, and so I thought I would share this. As he says, no doubt we have heard them say, seeing is believing. That's another old proverb we have here, but that doesn't work either. It doesn't work, because men can sit and look right straight at anything, and they'll not see it. The word see in the English, see, has so many different meanings. See might be a body of water, and it might mean to understand. It might be to look at. Oh, there's just all kinds of words you can use. But when you say seeing is believing, you're mistaken. When you understand it, you believe it, Jesus said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. In other words, understand the kingdom, because the kingdom is the Holy Spirit in you. So you have to understand what this is in you. And the only way you'll understand it is to compare it, what it makes you do, with the Bible said it would make you do. Amen. What an assurance. It is truly an age of identification. If you think about that, as we look out here in the world and we see, even for like the voting and things, they want to get down to where, hey, we want to make sure you are who you are. And we, you know, it's the age of identification. It hasn't changed. You know, the prophet began to show that in his messages, but the age is still rolling. And it's still that great age of identification, and you're going to be identified on one side or the other. So as we hear this word, and as it sinks into our hearts, the outcome that comes is identifying to ourselves. It's bringing that assurance that, hey, this isn't me. This is something I couldn't do in myself, but look what Jesus Christ is doing in my heart. He says, so you have to understand, because the kingdom is the Holy Spirit in you. So you have to understand what this is. And the only way you understand it is compare what it makes you do with what the Bible said it would make you do. And then your problem's solved. See, he is that Holy Spirit. So seeing is not believing. I can prove that by my senses of body, seeing is not believing. And he had a bottle of oil, and he must have had it behind his back. He said, I cannot see this bottle of oil. I could not see it because it's behind me. Yet I have a sense of feeling, because he had it in his hand, that tells me it's there. He says, I couldn't see it. It's impossible. And so then he sets it over and he says, now I couldn't see it. It's impossible. And now I can't reach it. It's impossible. Yet I believe it because he said it there. He still knows it was there. And he says, I neither could I see it nor feel it. But if I get close and could smell it, now his nose is telling him it's still there. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, taste, felt, smell, or heard. You believe it. And faith must have a resting place. And anything that's contrary to the word of God, faith in God can have no resting place until it's a promise of God. And there it takes its eternal stand. So it's not just it's not a fable. It's not a just cunning device, something that we're reading or that our faith is placed in, but it's the infallible word of God.
Amen.
And as we hear this word and truly come to that realization, you know, it's simple as, as he said, in the beginning, he created. And we look out here and we see the sun, and you show me one human being that has any power or control over whether that sun comes up in the morning or goes down the next night. God set it in orbit, and only God can control the rising and the falling of that sun. This earth is turning, as science tells us. Only God can control it. He can only one that can slow it down or speed it up. It's all in God's control. And by God's grace, we see the grass growing out here, and man has yet to reproduce the life of the seed that's in that grass. Oh, he can take it and mix it and come up with something else, but he can't reproduce that life. And it's God's word is laying here. And you know, the prophet told a little, he used a story. You know, Jesus, oftentimes we may call it a story, but Jesus spoke in parables many times. Yes. And it was recorded for a purpose. And the things that took place, and as he put that there, and so the prophet, when he was here, he used this as an illustration, as a story that he was told. But, you know, he used this to get it across, and how true it is. If we but can, as we talk about opening up our hearts to the womb and just laying up and say, Lord, just let it soak me, saturate my life in this word, and let me hold to what this says and push everything else aside. But in the message, pardon, this was preached October 28, 63, paragraph 156, and you've all heard this many times, but just let it run deep into our hearts and think on these things. He says, I was told a little story once, and it helped me a lot. There was a boy that was kidnapped in the early days, and I suppose all of you has taken Bible history and taken the history of the church. And I believe it was, he says, no, it wasn't. It was in the Nicaea Fathers or the life of St. Patrick. St. Patrick was actually, that was just a name that was given him. His name was Sukkot, and he was kidnapped by a bunch of sea rovers and was hired out to be a hog raiser. And the story goes that this kid was kidnapped and taken aboard of a ship, and he was working his way. And the old captain, taken sick one day, and was just about ready to die, and he was so sick he was out on the sea, and the old fellow with his gray beard laying in his cabin, and he called his hands, his deck men, and said, is there a Bible among you? And said, when I was a child, I had Christian raising. And said, I'm dying. And men, I don't want to die like this. He said, have you got the word of God? Any man here has got the word of God. And just all of his life, he had been void of this. He'd been out on the ship doing his own life, going his own way. But at this moment in time, as he come down, he knew that his creator, and he knew that Bible was the word of God. And he knew that in his deep down. And there ain't one person, I don't care. One of these days, every knee shall bow. And everyone shall proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. So think about it as he goes here. He says, as he got the word of God. And finally, way back in the bunch of men, a little boy stood up and said, sir, I have a Bible. And I am a Christian and I pack it with me. And he said, come up here, sonny. He said, do you mean you pack a Bible? And he said, yes. And my mother and father was Christians, and I gave my life to Christ when I was just a teeny little fella. God's got to have helpers, and sometimes they come along in different routes. And he says, I pack this word wherever I go. He said, I'll put it upon my heart, and it's been in my heart. And he said, read me something out of there, son, before I die. And the little fella turned over to Isaiah 53:5, and it reads like this. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And when he said that, the old captain said, can you read on? And the little boy said, may I come in here? And the old captain said to the lad, go ahead. And he said, my Christian mother, before I was taken from her, said, you know, she used to read that scripture to me so much. And you know the way she read it? And the old captain said, no, son, I'd like to hear the way your Christian mother read it. And she said, here's the way she read it. He was wounded for Willie Pruitt's transgressions, and he was bruised for Willie Pruitt's iniquity. And the chastisement of Willie Pruitt was upon him, and with his stripes Willie Pruitt was healed. And oh my, if each one of us but could read that from our heart and place our name in there. But as he read it like that, he said that with his stripes, Willie Pruitt was healed. And the old captain said, I like that, I like that. And said, oh, if my name could only be read in there. Said, you think you could do it, son? He said, I'll try it. And he was wounded for John Quart's transgressions. He was bruised for John Quart's iniquity. And the chastisement of John Quart's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, John Quart's was healed. With tears running down his beard, he said, fetch me my clothes. Jesus Christ has healed me, and I'll give my life to him. Oh, friend, if you can only read your name in there. And oh, if I can read my name. He was wounded for William Branham's transgressions. He was bruised not the church, not just the creed, but he was bruised for my iniquity, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. Yes. And with his stripes, William Branham was healed. Oh, if we can just read our name into that scripture and really mean it.
Yes.
That's what does it. Read our name into it. It makes receiving a pardoning. And for when we realize that he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquity.
Yes.
And as we take any of this word, if we will just read our name into it, as it's coming forth, put yourself in there.
Yes.
And realize, oh, he's talking about me. Oh, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That was me. Came to this world speaking lies. That was me. But oh, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me. And oh my, to repent and be baptized and be born again. My name was in that. I was included. And by his stripes I'm healed. My name was in that. But oh, if we will but make it personal. Don't just take it as words on a page, but all bring it down to home and realize he is speaking to me. It might be a man. It might be your brother. It might be your husband. It might be your wife. It might be your son or daughter that's renewing your mind back to what's been in there. Maybe you can't see and you're sitting there and asking someone to read to you. But as that word's coming forth, God's word is spirit and it is life. And it is inspired. And in the right atmosphere with the right attitude, God will pour the increase upon his word. But if we'll just open up the womb to our soul and just say, Lord, I see that's for me. Oh, and then follow him. Amen. As you think of that little eunuch, when he began to see that word, oh, what stops me from partaking in that right there?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's for you as an individual.
Yes,
and when God places that in your heart, no one can shake it from you.
Amen.
Oh my, may we truly, as we hear the word, whether it's tonight, whether it'll be this Sunday if the Lord should tarry. But as that word's coming forth, read your name into God's precious word.
Hallelujah.
Make it personal to you and to realize that those promises were made. All of this happened for those that he saw before there was a moon or a star.
Amen.
And oh my, no man can come to the Father unless which the no man can come unto me unless the Father which sent me draw him first.
Amen.
And oh, if I'm feeling a draw, if I'm feeling something moving, there's just something stirring down in there. There's got to be something. Amen. Read your name into God's precious word.
Hallelujah.
And let him speak to your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You sisters can come to the instruments.
Amen.
Amen. Just a little food for thought. Amen. But oh, how, you know, I still think, you know, a couple Thursdays ago as I began, as I said, the old Saul, he lived on the sea a long time. He had seen all that was there. He had seen, and he had lost its luster to him. We've lived around this word a long time. Don't let it lose its luster to you.
Amen.
But read your name into every verse, every page.
Hallelujah.
And realize the reality of God's word is to you personally.
Amen.
Oh, it'll change your outlook on life. It'll change your goals. It'll change your focus.
Yes.
Amen. If you but really, truly get in there and let the Holy Spirit go to work on your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Amen. I wonder if we could just sing that little chorus. He's real, real, real.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, amen.
Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. He's so real to me. Yes, he baptized me with the Holy Ghost.
He's so real to me. Baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And he's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. He's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Amen. Beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
I hope you're
thinking about too, what I read to you Sunday again. Amen. If there's a craving down on the inside of your heart to be healed, there's a healing there for you. Amen. The special thing of it is the crave for it. And the desire, the understanding, the revelation that goes with it. Oh my. Praise God. What a blessed people we are. Amen. Knowing that God wants to heal you. God wants to provide for you. Because that's why he sent us here for. To manifest his attributes. You want to be a father? Yes. You want to be Lord? You want to be a healer? You want to be your provider? Amen. So many people still fret so much on God providing for them. Don't worry about it. Seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things shall be added. So are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you seeking the Christ in you? Oh my. What is the kingdom? Christ in you. You read it tonight. You see? Seek ye first that Christ that's in you. Yeah. Talk to him. Walk with him. All through the day. He's real. We just sang it, didn't you? He's real. He's real. He's very real to me. Amen. Oh my. We are blessed. I'm so thankful. I trust that even those listening in will make sure they listen to it closely. Amen. And just want to say greetings to you again from Brother Pappy. He wanted to let you know he loved you all and family loves you. And he's still staying right there with us. Amen. So just keep him in your prayers. And God will continue to bless him. Amen. Meet the needs in their lives. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Most of all? Amen. Oh my. We got a lot of reason why we should love him. Always done for us. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how precious you are. You're just so wonderful and so great. And Lord, as we sing in the song, you're real. You're so real to me. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our thoughts. And Father, when we sing out with a real joy in our heart, and Lord, with a reality to know you're real, Lord, it just makes us happy to sing it, Lord. Father, we know you're real because we've seen you manifest yourself real before us. And Father, to the little bride, Lord, that's filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't have to only rely on, Lord, and looking back what you did for the prophet and what the great mighty signs and wonders and miracles that you've done through him to the people and through the people. Lord, the mighty supernatural things that was done. But Father, we can begin to look at our own life and see the supernatural things that's done. And by being supernatural, Lord, it's proven that it's you. And it's things that we cannot do. It's things, Lord, that we see that you know our minds, you know our thoughts. And not in only a way, Father, to look at it in a way that you know what we do wrong and you see the wrong or something we're off the word with. But Lord, you also know everything about us. And Father, when you see yourself manifest through us, you see that. You know these things. And Lord, these things gives us a greater assurance by seeing that fruit coming forth from our lives. Father, we're so thankful for that manifesting power. Lord, the revelation striking our hearts and being quickened to us, Lord. We so appreciate that. And we know, though, that that's not us. We cannot do it. But, Father, we know it's you. And, Lord, that gives us that blessed assurance. That's why the prophet, he spoke in the token, Lord. When we see that token in our lives, oh, what a blessed assurance comes with that. But, Father, help us all. If we are falling short of that, help us, Lord. Give us a greater desire to strive for that. And Father, if we're not filled with the Holy Ghost, fill us all with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. And that nature, that old worldly nature, be completely burned out there. And Lord, the nature of God living through these tabernacles of flesh. Help us, Lord. We want to see that in our lives, every one of us. Father, our loved ones, our relatives that hasn't come to Christ yet. May you bless them, Lord. If that little seed lays down in there, Lord, I trust it'll drive them, oh God, and pull on them like never before, knowing we're getting closer to the appearing of the Lord. Father, but we know that no man, no woman can come to you except the one that sent Christ, the Savior, the Son, who draws us. Lord, what a blessing it is. So we appreciate it now. Just go with us. Keep us safe as we travel, Lord. And Father, keep us in your word above all things. Again, that we'll give you the glory for it. Through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Praise your wonderful name. Amen. Let's just sing a little song, a little slower song, but I can hear my Savior calling. Can you hear him calling in your life? Maybe not only to draw closer to him, but to come to him completely. Amen. Do you hear him calling? Do you hear that small little voice and small little pull on the inside drawing you? Oh my. Don't never get away from it. I don't care how close you get to being exactly like him. You just keep listening and calling him. Amen. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I'll go with him always. Sing it one more time and just really mean it very personal between you and him. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I'll go all the way. Amen. Well, he's ready for you. You say, Lord, here am I need you. Amen. May God richly bless you. You're dismissed. And keep him always before you.